Nancy Pearl reads books for a living and for pleasure. She's author of Book Lust, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and reason. And she was the model for a librarian action figure. Morning Edition's Steve Inskeep invited her in for a midsummer visit.
The Seattle librarian made us a reading list for summertime.
The best time to lie in a hammock and just drift off into a good book.
You really have a hammock?
No, I live in a very small, very small condominium, but it does have a porch.
The books she recommended to us aren't new, and some were overlooked by the critics. She brought in a pile of works, including Richard Morgan's Altered Carbon. Nancy Pearl says that in this futuristic novel, the essence of each human being is digitally preserved. When one body wears out, you get transferred to another body, the same way you'd move a computer file off a broken laptop. Each body is referred to dismissively as a sleeve.
So basically, life goes on forever in a variety of bodies. Chapter one begins with this great first line, "Coming back from the dead can be rough."
And that's so true.
I mean, that's a line, one of those lines that makes you want to read further, that in fact sort of dares you to stop right there.
Well, we had some members of our staff read a little bit further in Altered Carbon and read out loud, and this is a passage in which the narrator is describing what it feels like to get into a new body.
In the shower, I whistled my disquiet away tunelessly and ran soap and hands over the new body. My sleeve was in his early 40s, protectorate standard, with a swimmer's build and what felt like some military custom carved onto his nervous system. There was a tightness in the lungs that suggested a nicotine habit and some gorgeous scarring on the forearm, but apart from that, I couldn't find anything worth complaining about.
An interesting combination of a hard-boiled, very noirish mystery set in a science fiction milieu.
Let's try another one of these books, shall we? Because it's the summer. This is a time of short attention spans. So what else have you got on the pile there?
Well, one of my favorite of the new chick lit genre, and I think whenever you talk about chick lit, I think we always have to remember that this owes a huge debt to Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice.
Chick lit?
Oh, chick lit. Books about young women, 30-something-ish, late 20-something-ish, looking for men. Frequently all in the wrong places.
I'm guessing that Gossip Hound is the chick lit novel. Am I right?
You are right. You are absolutely right.
By Wendy Holden.
It's very clever. There's lots of wordplay. The main character is a young woman named Grace Armiger, whose life is it's plugging along, but she's not very happy. She's a low-paid publicist at a British publishing company, and her thankless task is to set up readings and signings for authors that it's very clear no one particularly wants to read.
Stuffing yet another bivalve into her violent pink-purple mouth, Euphemia snatched up the copy of the Evening Standard that lay on the bar. "Look at this," she snarled, stabbing the book's pages. "Even this effing history of food canning gets more column inches than I do." She looked at Grace in contempt. "You lot couldn't get coverage for a bloody duvet." She drained her glass and slid off the bar stool. "Well, I can't waste any more time with you. I have an appointment with my trainer." Watching her bustle out of the restaurant, Grace tried to imagine what Euphemia's trainer could possibly be training her for. Anything of an athletic nature seemed unlikely. Perhaps she lay on her back while he threw her seafood.
It's very funny. I have to say I laughed out loud several times during this book. And even though the ending is predictable, in chick lit fiction generally, there is always going to be an affirmatively happy ending.
Now, some of these novels can take you to an entirely different place. And I'm thinking in particular of a novel in this stack that is set in the Philippines.
Yes. I think that Biggest Elvis by P.F. Kluge is one of those novels that did not get enough readership when it was first published.
Before we talk about it more, we've got a reading here from early in the book that gives you an idea of what it's about. This is from Biggest Elvis by P.F. Kluge.
My name is Ward Wiggins, and though I'm not in that line of work anymore, I used to be an Elvis Presley imitator. one-third of a trio of Presleys who played overseas for a while, 1990, 1991. There were three of us, the young Elvis, the middle Elvis, and the terminal Elvis. Three ages of man, three lives in one, and also, I now realize, three versions of America as it went out into the world. The youthful romantic, the jaded movie star, and the fat, doomed Las Vegas headliner. That last Elvis, that was me.
It was tempting at the beginning to wonder why Biggest Elvis would be set in the Philippines, but you don't wonder that for long, do you?
No, you don't. In fact, it's set at a very crummy bar on a naval base in the Philippines, and that crummy bar is called Graceland. The two men who play Baby Elvis and Dude Elvis are brothers, and they look upon this as just another gig. They'll do this for a number of years, and however long it lasts, and then they'll go on and do something else. But Biggest Elvis, Ward Wiggins, really takes on the cause of making the lives of these bar girls and prostitutes better. This is a novel that is filled with ideas about what we owe other people and how much of yourself ought you to give to change the world, to make it a better place.
I love this book. It's really surprising.
Oh, and you have so many of his left to read. They're great.
Nancy Pearl, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Nancy Pearl is the author of Book Lust. She's also an occasional reading advisor for Morning Edition. To hear more of her suggestions and some more readings, go to our website, npr.org.